All right, welcome back to the show. 97.5, the Fanatic and Nerd Street Gamers have teamed up with Dover International Speedway to bring you our first ever NASCAR Heat Tournament on PlayStation. If you think you are the fastest racer in the game, head to 975thefanatic.com right now and register for one of our four qualifying heats. The top 10 fastest drivers in each heat qualify for our championship race, where you have the chance to win a four tickets to the August 23rd, 2020 Dry Dean 400 NASCAR Cup Series race and four hot pit passes. Experience NASCAR live in person and closer than you think at Dover International Speedway. For tickets and information, visit doverspeedway.com. That's doverspeedway.com. Our first heat kicks off soon, so get to 975thefanatic.com to find out all of the details. Took a car out there once, a NASCAR out there at Dover International Speedway once when I was with Fox with Hugh Douglas. We raced. I did not win. He's big on cars. He's into cars. He came in way ahead of me. Pretty cool, though. You're up on your side. I mean, you are basically on your side on this in this piece of metal that travels at, like, you know, 210 miles per hour. I was only going about a buck 30.
I was
going
to ask you, how fast did you end up going?
About a buck 30, buck 40.
That's even that to like the normal person seems unfathomable, because like you hit eight, you know, you should don't do this, please don't do this,
right?
You start going, you know, 85, 90 in your regular car.
Oh yeah,
and things start shaking. So I can't imagine what it's like going 130 or 140 miles an hour.
Yeah, you don't feel like you are. And in fact, he was going much faster, so I'm like, I'm just not even gonna try, because I'm going to like totally wreck this car. You know, cost myself my life.
Right.
You know, totally screw up this thing for Fox and the Dover International. The nice folks at the Speedway who would let me drive this car. So I let him win. He killed me. But it's pretty cool. It really is cool.
Like the only thing that I can even remotely relate to is if you get on some of those faster roller coasters.
Like
the King Dakas of the world.
Then
get into the hundreds.
Sure.
But
you're flying.
But you're not doing anything. You're just in a seat.
Right.
I can't imagine actually having to control the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because that's the scary part to me.
It was a little hairy. I gotta admit, a little hairy. It was fun, though.
You made it out alive. Now you got a good story.
Made it out alive. Got pictures of it. Yeah, it was a good story. It was a good time. He did a piece on it. It used to be called Good Times with Hugh Douglas. He would go around and he dragged me with him one time to Dover International. It was fun. It was a good time. We're talking Eagles football today, though, and the draft that was. The Birds landed 10 players plus a wide receiver from San Francisco and Marquise Goodwin. They certainly did bolster their speed, but everyone's talking about their second pick, Jalen Hurts. The 53rd pick overall, they could have taken, Denzel Mims was there. I'm sure Carson would have loved to have more help and not a quarterback there. I'd just love to know what Carson Wentz is thinking or feeling about this pick. He just got through the Nick Foles stuff. He doesn't have to see any shrines anymore. Chris Long's not around. There's no shrines in anyone's locker with candles and Saint Nick posters and whatnot. He still has to walk past the statue or drive past it when he pulls into the building on Sundays. Other than that, you know, Nick Foles is pretty much a thing of the past. And now this. Now they bring in, like, the heir apparent. I mean, that's what it looks like. It looks like they're bringing in a guy that has a lot of ability in different areas and could very well be the heir apparent if Carson Wentz, you know, depending on how many years he plays here. Because that's the kind of talent that if you ask Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman and Andy Weidel what they landed, they're going to tell you that this guy could be certainly a very high-end productive quarterback in the National Football League. Now, there are some folks who think he can't play in this league, doesn't have the arm strength. Doesn't have the foot speed. You know, his numbers will tell you otherwise. I mean, he put up some serious stats. Although he did play at Oklahoma last year. Everyone succeeds in Lincoln Riley's offense at Oklahoma. And the Big 12, they can't stop anyone. Hell, Oklahoma in the national semifinal game lost 63-28 to LSU. They gave up 63 points. That's how the game was supposed to go. But you think, well, I mean, that's how it's projected. But, I mean, this is, you know, this team's going to buckle down, play some defense. It's a national semifinal game. LSU just, I mean, LSU went through everybody. But it was ridiculous what they did to Oklahoma. And Jalen Hurts couldn't do a whole lot except when they were already down 28 points in that game. But some people like him. Some people have called Howie Roseman a genius today on these very airwaves. They've called Howie Roseman a genius. What do you think? Obviously, I'm not there. I don't like Howie's drafting a little bit, and I've gone over that. So I certainly don't like this pick at number 253 overall. And to be honest, I have no idea how to evaluate these guys except from what I hear. Kevon Wallace apparently looks like he can play a little safety from Clemson. Jalen Reagor is a home run every time is a possible home run every time he touches the ball. Okay. It sounds good. Can Sean Bradley in the sixth round out of Temple from Mount Holly play in the next level? I don't know. I don't know that. Again, the draft's a crapshoot. They did turn it into 10 players. It was 8 starting out. Howie pulled some magic with a 4th-round pick, and he also logged another pick next year, a 5th-round pick or a 6th-round pick, and I think it was a 5th-round pick in 2021. So he pulled some strings, but again, he just acquired more 6th- and 7th-round picks and a 5th-round pick. So that does not excite me. People like this draft. Yeah, they think the Eagles bolstered their speed, which they did. Certainly can't argue with that. The wide receivers they got, along with Marquise Goodwin, they all can run. Can they play? I don't know. I don't know if they can play. Should I give Howie Roseman the benefit of the doubt? No. Why would I? I've seen enough of his drafts. Why would I give him the benefit of the doubt? And then he goes off and he pulls what he pulled in the 2nd round. Drafting Jalen Hurts as an insurance policy / the heir apparent. Again, there were other guys there that the Eagles could have used immediate help, not just an insurance policy. Because if you have to go to Jalen Hurts next year for an extended period of time, a rookie, he may be qualified to be a productive NFL quarterback at some point, but he is a rookie. Peyton Manning, like Tyler said, so astutely earlier in the show, 28 interceptions his first year. Seriously, he was like 26 touchdowns, 28 interceptions, something like that. And he was 3-13. That's Peyton Manning, one of the great regular season quarterbacks of all time. It's tough. The NFL's tough. It's a tough transition from college to pro. I don't care if he went from Alabama, the SEC, to the Big 12 and transition nicely, which you can do at that level. And he did. He did a great job. Listen, first time out with a new team, looked like he'd been there for 3 years. Did a phenomenal job. Big difference transitioning into the NFL than interleague play in college football. 610-632-0975. Brian in Middleton, you're on 97.5 The Fennec. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Joe. Great show, my brother.
Thanks, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, terrific. Thanks. So it's interesting you talk about transitioning from the college game to the pro game. You can use as an example Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, thank God, Mitch Trubisky.
Right? So, and you know, the thing is, if someone like Jalen Hurts who could play at the big-time level, you know, if you can draft a quarterback from North Dakota State who can learn to play at the pro game, I'm quite sure someone who had success at Alabama and Oklahoma can learn, because they all have to learn.
They all have to learn.
They all have to learn. So, and I know what you're saying about, you know, not necessarily getting playing time, but maybe that's actually a good thing. They can kind of sit and watch. But here's the point I wanted to make. Back in 2012, the Redskins drafted RG3.
Yes.
And now after that, but later in the round, they actually drafted Kirk Cousins. You know, I'm quite sure people thought that was ridiculous. And yeah, obviously, the quarterback who was drafted in front of RG3 was Andrew Luck. And the point I'm making is that you can draft these guys high, like Carson. There's no guarantee you're going to get 10 years out of them. Because if you remember, in that 2012 draft, Nick Foles was also picked. And you know he's had a spotty career, obviously, with the Super Bowl win. We love him for that forever. But really, I think in that 2012 draft, the only quarterback who's had sustained success, I think, is Russell Wilson. All right? So, and if you look at Carson Wentz, Rowley, he is injury prone. We don't want to say it, but he is. And I know he played all 16 regular season games last year, but I was at that playoff game. I spent good money taking my sons there. To have him go out in the first quarter like that, it was really disappointing. I'm quite sure the Eagles staff probably felt the same way. You've got to finish those games, right?
Yeah.
So, to me, the whole idea of an of insurance policy, if you look around the NFL now, if you look at what Tennessee was able to do last year because they had a decent backup quarterback. New Orleans was able to sustain itself in the middle of the season, maintain that 1-2 seed because they had Teddy Bridgewater. And obviously we know what Nick Foles did for us in 2017. My point to you and to all the listeners that maybe the NFL needs to change their model. Is this whole idea that the backup quarterback is just going to be this clipboard holder or this Microsoft, this whole at play. I think these organizations are worth too much money. We're spending too much money. But once your quarterback goes out, well, that's it. You can't run your offense. That was a frustrating playoff game last year. You kept the Seahawks to 17 points. That's like we did in the regular season. Now, the regular season, Carson didn't play well in that game. And then, obviously, in the playoff game, he gets hurt. But that game was absolutely winnable, but you had a 40-year-old backup who really couldn't do anything. He wasn't a threat. And I'll say this, and I'll leave you with this. Even with Carson, I think after that injury, he has actually lost some speed. He no longer can take the edge. The thing that I noticed, he can't outrun defensive ends, let alone linebackers or safeties. He's no longer a threat. So if you want to run those RPOs, I mean, you can do it. But it really, he's no threat to really get anywhere. But and again, I love Carson. I wanted to see him succeed. But I actually commend Howie and the fact that the Eagles made the playoffs 3 straight years in a row, obviously the Super Bowl in 2017. Hey, man, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. I appreciate it, Brian. You know, that's one thing people haven't really brought up in terms of Carson Wentz. He doesn't look as fast as he did his rookie year. Now, could that be from that knee injury? I thought that was supposed to heal at 110% and actually be almost better than it was the way it's constructed now. But he hasn't looked as fast since he came back from that injury that year, obviously, that he came in and took over for Nick Foles in week 3 against Indianapolis. He still doesn't look as fast as this might just be me. It might just be Brian. I don't know about Tyler. I'll ask Tyler. Does he not look as fast? I thought he was faster when I saw him in his early years.
I think that's probably pretty fair, but I think also to the fact of the matter is he's put on weight.
He's gotten bigger.
Weight,
Donovan, that happened
muscle,
to Donovan too.
Not fat.
Yeah,
he's put on a lot of muscle.
Of course.
It's gonna slow him down. He's
grown into his body. That's what happened to Donovan.
Course.
Donovan got big, muscular.
He's what, 27 now?
Yeah, he's 27.
Yeah, you're gonna be a little bit bigger than you were at 24.
Yeah.
Just because he's been in the NFL for 4 years now. You know, he's been through workout regimens and off-season programs, and he's probably eating all the correct stuff because he's got nutritionists and all that kind of stuff. The guy's probably put on a couple of pounds,
which is
because he's getting stronger.
This is a good point. You're not as fast. That happened to Donovan. Donovan got big. Donovan became a big human being. Donovan was a tall human being when he came into the league. Look at pictures. Go back and Google image Donovan from 91 to 2002. Now, again, you're not necessarily a man coming out of college. Well, maybe by definition you are, but your body doesn't really develop till you're 24, 25 years old, 26. And Carson Wentz is a lot bigger than if you look at pictures. It might have been gradual, but he is bigger than he was. And you're carrying around more weight. He's not fat. He didn't gain fat. Neither did Donovan. Donovan just got big. His arms got big. His legs got big. It looked like his head got big. He just got big. He developed into his body. He wasn't fat. He just got bigger. He was still fast, but not as fast when he was his first 3 or 4 years. So maybe that's what's happened to Carson Wentz. Good point. Good point, Tyler Zuli. Let's go to Cam in Royersford. You're on 97.5 The Fennec. What's up, Cam?
Hey, guys. So I want to talk about Jalen Hurts, and then if you don't mind, I have a prediction for the NBA.
Shoot.
All right. So I was obviously shocked and a little disappointed with the pick, but I'm trying to be optimistic about it. I mean, I watched him a lot in college. You know, I think the dude can ball. I think he's a really good athlete. And I don't think his ego will be an issue when it comes to him versus Carson and the fan base. You know, if you look what he did when Tua came in the national championship, you know, I think he handled it as good as anybody could have at the time. And especially with his transition to Oklahoma, I mean, he put up great numbers in the new system. Granted, it was the Big 12, but I think what he did in the SEC, even as a freshman, I think he won the national championship. And, you know, I think he handled his situation really well. And I think he's a great guy to come into Philly. And, you know, obviously it does suck with Carson being there, you know, all the Nick Foles drama. But I think Jalen Hurts is the perfect guy to be able to learn under him and Doug. And, you know, I want to see what you think about that.
Well, you know, in a vacuum, I'm okay with him as a quarterback in the National Football League. You know, I mean, what do I know? It looks like, I mean, he put up such great numbers in college. I think he can throw at this level. I think he can run at this level. We'll see. There are some folks that don't think he can be an NFL quarterback. Obviously, the Eagles do. He's just going to not have a lot of opportunity unless Carson Wentz is hurt to learn on the job. Like, if he comes in, let's say he comes in like this was last year. People were like, you know, if it was him and not Josh McCown, really? Because if Jalen Hurts gets his chance in the playoff game, his first chance of the season, basically outside of a few gadget plays, he's still a rookie who hasn't seen a lot of playing time. He's still a rookie. Yeah. At least Josh McCown played for, like, you know, 19 years with like 11 different teams and had all kinds of experience, and obviously probably didn't have the nerves as you might have if you're a rookie and coming in and a playoff game, a big spot. He just won't have the experience when he comes in initially. So to get experience, you're going to need to see Carson Wentz be on the bench, and who wants to see that? It's a weird situation.
I mean, out of all the quarterbacks who came out in this draft, in terms of playing in big games, you know, he might be at the top. He might even be ahead of Joe in terms of the national championship and the amount of playoff games he played in. So he's not new to the big stage. I mean, obviously it's a different ball game, but
who's he ahead of? Ahead of who? Joe Burrow?
In terms of the amount of big games
that he's played. Oh, he is. He's been in more big games than Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow basically, and I appreciate the call, Cam. Thank you very much. Joe Burrow had one really good year, and that was this past year when he played in the national championship game. Jalen Hurts won a national title and then played in a national title game his sophomore year, was replaced at halftime, which was still one of the great coaching moves I've ever seen. Of course, Nick Saban obviously knows his players. He had no problem bringing Tua in, and Tua, despite, you know, throwing some ill-advised passes, they worked, scored some touchdowns, and then took the sack, which he shouldn't have taken, and then threw that touchdown pass to win the national championship game. And the next year, they split a little bit of time, and it looked like Tua was going to take over, and that's why Jalen Hurts decided to hightail it. But Jalen Hurts has been in more big games than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow basically had one really good season. Really good season. And it was a really good season. I feel sorry for Joe Burrow. He's going to have to take his talents to Cincinnati, where careers go to die. Not a lot of help around him. Not a very good offensive line. He's going to get his brains beaten in his first season. And that happens to rookies. But, like, at least Tua, I think, is in a decent situation. Despite the fact Miami doesn't have a great offensive line, they just drafted an offensive lineman yesterday early, or this weekend early. But at least Tua's playing for a better coach, a better culture, a better system. You know, a lot of it depends on where you land geographically. It goes to your success. A lot of it does. Think about some of these guys who've been that successful. What if Brady landed in Cincinnati or Cleveland? You think he'd have the career he's had? You know, sometimes you have to get lucky. You have to be in a good situation. You have to be in a good spot, a good culture, good coaching staff. You know, Carson Palmer spent years in Cincinnati and in Arizona, still had, you know, close to a Hall of Fame career. But by all indications, I mean, I heard TJ Hushmanzada the other day saying he would have been first ballot Hall of Famer if he had gone to a program that was more identifiable with winning, like a winning culture. Not a Cincinnati, not an Arizona. So, again, I feel a little sorry for Joe Burrow. If I was Joe Burrow, I would have liked to have seen Miami made some make that trade with Cincinnati if they were still pushing for it. But we'll see. Hope the kid does well. Seems like a good kid. Let's go to Baxter in Phoenixville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Baxter?
Hey, Joe. Great show today. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey,
how
listen,
you doing?
Yeah, doing great. Doing great. Hey, listen. You know, I've been listening for a while, and, you know, everything, all the talk about whether it was a good draft or a bad draft or something in the middle seems to be on the offensive side of the ball. The thing that's kind of bugging me, and I'd like to get your thoughts, are their lack to go after a high-end defensive player. I mean, there were a couple safeties in the first two rounds. There was a nice looking middle linebacker from Oklahoma that was there for the first round. You know, I'm looking at this squad and going, who's going to be the leader for the next 2, 3, 5 years on the defense? Who's the heartbeat? You know, Malcolm just Jenkins just left. Who's the next Dawk or Trotter or somebody like that? I think, you know, they avoided that side of it, and you know, somebody's got to tackle Zeke, somebody's got to tackle Saquon, and somebody's got to be, you know, the heart of that D. I'd like to get your thoughts.
You bring up a good point, Baxter. I got to tell you, I was in between on this. I was leaning towards them taking a Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma with their first pick rather than a wide receiver, because I thought they could have, and it looks like they obviously still could have gotten a Denzel Mims at 53, you know, take out the Jalen Hurts debacle, because they don't have, think of, who's their alpha dog on defense? Who's their alpha? They lost
exactly.
They lost Malcolm Jenkins. They don't have a linebacker to speak of, per se. He called the defense for 3 years at Oklahoma. Kenneth Murray did. He was like the guy who was supposed to be the next, you know, foundation centerpiece of whatever defense, whatever team picked him up. Now, San Diego traded with the Patriots, and they ended up landing him, I think, at 23. They also got Justin Herbert. I thought I loved what San Diego did in the first round, but they didn't go that route. Now, they got a decent linebacker in the third round, and Davion Taylor, the kid from Colorado. But he didn't play a lot in high school, played like a game and a half because of, you know, for religious reasons. And he's just kind of coming into his own, played at JUCO and then got a scholarship at Colorado. He's a heat-seeking missile. He's very fast. He's a good tackler. He's going to break the lineup, I think. But again, he's not like your foundation piece. And they don't have that still. And you're right. And you make a good point. I mean, they have your Fletcher Cox. You have your Brandon Graham, your veterans of the defense, but like they don't have a Dawk, they don't have a Trotter, you know, a guy like that, a guy who's going to be like your focal point of your defense, especially with Malcolm Jenkins now gone.
Yep. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. I'm with you. I had the same feeling on Murray. You know, once the big three wideouts weren't there, I was really hoping they'd go there, but you know, hopefully one of these, this third or fourth rounder may be emerging that, but I think it's going to be a weak point heading into the season. So we'll see what they do.
I agree. Thanks, Baxter. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, we got to take a break, but they took two linebackers. They took Sean Bradley and they took Davion Taylor. I don't think they've taken two linebackers in a draft in like 7 years.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Go ahead.
Because the last time they took multiple linebackers, have you seen the names?
I'm trying to think who they took.
It's Brian Roll.
Okay.
And I think Casey Matthews.
Ooh.
And then there's one more. I gotta go back and find the third. But it's bad.
Well, the last time they took one in the first round was Jerry Robinson in 79. They obviously don't value that position, which is unfortunate because when they did draft Jordan Hicks in the third round, he turned out to be a baller, and Michael Kendricks in the second round started for your Super Bowl winning team. So you can find them. They're out there. You have to focus on that position. I thought Kenneth Murray would have been a nice fit here, but they went in a different direction. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak, and we're coming right back after this.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I'm on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter at Joe Stasak 975. You can follow Tyler Zuli at
Tyler Zuli.
At Tyler Zuli. He's behind the glass.
My last name's hard enough to spell as it is. I'm not putting any extra letters or numbers in there.
Zulli?
Yes, sir.
All right, Tyler Zulli at Tyler Zulli. I'm at Joe Stasak, Stasak 975 on Twitter, and follow my Facebook page as well. We're covering the Eagles draft today. We were talking about that. Tyler and I were talking in break about that move they made with Dallas. See how he kind of turned one pick into three or four quickly. He gave Dallas the 146 pick, and they turned that into Tyler Biadasz, the center out of Wisconsin. The Eagles were given 164 and next year's fifth-round pick from Dallas, and they flipped that for 173 and 227. I'm trying to figure out who they drafted with those two picks. They drafted late. They might have drafted Prince Tegeuanohoe, if I'm saying that right, with the 173rd pick. But we're looking into it. Tyler's working on it. 610-632-0975. Speaking of the Dallas trade, Gary in San Antonio might want to talk a little bit about it. What's up, Gary? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah. I live down here among all these idiots, okay?
Oh, so boy. Sorry to hear that,
it's
man.
It's not easy. It's really not easy. And then, you know, I had bragging rights, as far as I was concerned, right up to the fifth choice, which was the second choice of the fourth round. Howie had addressed team speed, toughness, backing people up. I mean, I loved it all. I put up with two straight days of Negadelphia BS, you know, that I was listening to, which I totally disagreed with. So now I'm ready to give Howie an A because he picks up Driscoll from Auburn, and then he does what you just talked about. He trades a draft pick to the top division rival, and he needs the guy who he could have taken at fifth instead of Driscoll, but the kid's still on the board. Tyler Badass, okay?
Yeah, which Tyler Badass went to Dallas.
And you know who's retiring from Dallas? A Wisconsin center by the name of Frederick.
Frederick's retiring,
so
yeah.
So we're going to give a legacy school who, all you know, if we're allegedly a quarterback factory, Wisconsin's a freaking center factory. And they turn over this center, who we need to back up Kelce badly.
I was going
to
say, they could use a center too, sure.
Good Lord, I was blown away by that. I'm thinking, is his son a Cowboy fan or something? Is he just trying to make his kid feel good? What in the hell could he been thinking? You know, he blew it all for me right there, Joe. He gets an F as far as I'm concerned. Bonehead, stupid move.
Dallas already scorched him too by taking CeeDee Lamb and not having the Eagles trade up.
How much more pain do you need to take from those SOBs? You know, it's like, stop it. I did not get that one iota.
So you give Howie an F.
I did, because of that one move. And really, the rest of the picks were fine with me. But that one move takes him from an A to an F. And when you started the show, you talked about how Dallas is probably going to get an A. Part of the reason? Because Howie was an idiot, and he gave him a gift horse.
Yeah, Tyler Badass is one of those draft picks that Dallas took. Everyone likes what Dallas did. I mean, I'm seeing A-pluses across the board for Dallas.
A-plus. Now, not to disrespect Tyler, but are you Polish, Joe?
I am.
I am, too. So, you know, the pronunciation is actually Biadasz.
Yeah, that's why he actually kind of said that. I call him Badass because I can't pronounce it. Biadasz, okay.
Well, as soon as I saw the way that name was laid out, I said, there's only one real way to pronounce it.
Right?
<Badass. laughs> Yeah.
Hey, Gary, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in. Good stuff. Hang in there with all those Cowboy fans down there, man. They got to be loving life right now. Now, they have Mike McCarthy this year. They don't have Jason Garrett anymore. He goes to the Giants to be their offensive coordinator under Joe Judge. I mean, the whole thing's bizarre. And if you ask me, he's got to be the reason and the thing that's been holding Dallas back, because they're extremely talented and have been talented, much more talented than the Eagles. And again, I've gone over their draft picks. You know, I've done that ad nauseum over the last 8 months, putting them up against the Eagles draft picks. I mean, Dallas has enjoyed so much more success. So much more success with their homegrown talent. Byron Jones, DeMarcus Lawrence, Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, Travis Frederick. They have Zach Martin, Lyle Collins, Jason Witten, the linebacker, the old guy who from Penn State, Sean Lee, all Dallas products. All Dallas products. Michael Gallup, Dallas product. I mentioned Tyron Smith. I'm going through their names right now as those were off the top of my head. They picked up Trevon Diggs in the draft, second round. Stephon's little brother probably to take over for Byron Jones. Yeah, to me, I'm looking at Dallas having a much better year only because they're out of the Jason Garrett mold. And not that I'm here to kill Jason Garrett. I mean, his teams were relatively average, maybe a little above average, went 13-3 a couple years ago. They were up and down. But there has to be something to the coaching because there was too much talent for that team. Look at what that team did this year. They came into Philly with the division on the line and all that talent and laid an egg. They dropped like 6 balls. They put up 9 points against a team with practice squad players for wide receivers. Robert Davis and Deontay. I'm forgetting his name. Greg Ward.
Deontay Burnett.
Burnett, thank you. Robert Davis, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who can't play. You think he couldn't play last year? Wait till all these cats take up his playing time this year. Nah, that was unfortunately a wasted second round pick, in my opinion. If the kid couldn't play last year, I can't see him playing this year. Again, he didn't do anything. Greg Ward still led all those, you know, all those bozos in receptions. I think he had 24 receptions in 7 games. Arcega-Whiteside had 10 catches all year. 10 catches. Started 5 games, played in 16, had 10 catches. Sean Jackson basically played in 1 game, had 9 catches. He played in Chicago. He played like 5 snaps against the Bears, and I think they counted him playing in the Atlanta game, which I don't think he actually played in. He had 1 catch against the Bears for 5 yards, and the rest he had against Washington. 8 catches in the first game, including a 53-yard touchdown and a 51-yard touchdown. Arcega-Whiteside did virtually nothing. Had a chance to win the Detroit game, dropped a ball. Some guys can't play. I don't know why they took him anyway. They needed speed. They basically took a guy who is a red zone guy. Like a Nelson Aguilar, another guy in that mold. Not a burner, but a guy who can catch more than a possession receiver, but in that mold. It doesn't look like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can play a little bit. Let's go to Marvin in Montana. You're on 97.5. What's up, Marvin?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
How are you, man?
I'm hanging in here. Got a question for you.
Shoot.
What are they thinking? I mean, you know, it takes about, it used to be 24 points, you probably win a game. It's probably going to take 30 with the way the offenses are now to win a game. And when you watch the Eagles, and gosh, you're watching the Eagles game, and heck, they could be up, and you don't leave that TV until the damn game's over because they're choke artists. Their defensive secondary just gives up miles of yardage. Why didn't they pick more DBs, Joe?
But they didn't give up a ton of points last year. I mean, they gave up a lot of yards, but basically when it came to points, they were not, they're about middle of the pack in terms of points last year. I know they gave up chunk plays, big chunk plays. Who did they take?
Yeah, buddy, but they took, middle of the pack doesn't make you a contender here.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it is, but I'm not saying it was as bad as maybe you think by watching the chunk plays that they gave up. And there were games like the Miami game where they gave up chunk plays and touchdowns. But they took a safety out of Clemson, Kayvon Wallace, in the fourth round.
We just let go the best safety in on the team.
Malcolm Jenkins,
And they
took an edge rusher in the seventh round, which I basically don't consider much because he's probably not going to play a whole lot. The kid from Stanford, Casey Tuhill. They basically also took a linebacker out of Colorado. I like that kid. I think he's going to get playing time. But basically, they focused on the offense. They really did. They kind of let the defense go a little bit. And the defense has a lot of areas where they need help. Now they did pick up Darius Slay for a couple picks, a third and a five. But they don't have an answer on the other side of the field for that cornerback position. It's either Avante Maddox right now or it's Sidney Jones. Safeties, they have Rodney McLeod, Jalen Mills. Again, they just drafted another safety. Linebackers, they have like Nate Jerry, TJ Edwards. Who else did they have at linebacker? They just picked up Davion Taylor. But, I mean, they're hurting at linebacker.
If you look at it, you know, the Eagles, their defensive line would put so much pressure that I guess you really didn't notice, you know, the lack of talent in their secondary. But, you know, last year we didn't have that many sacks compared to a normal.
They were exactly middle of the road in sacks last year as well. So they didn't get a ton of pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they didn't. I mean, again, their defense is predicated off of the front four. Again, a Jim Schwartz defense is predicated off the front four getting pressure, and they did not do that. Duke Riley, And Jatavis Brown, who they just brought in from Miami, are their other two linebackers. So, I mean, good luck with that. Good luck with that linebacking core.
All right.
They lost Nigel Bradham to free agency, and Kamu Grugier-Hill signed with the Dolphins. So they are in some trouble from the linebacker position. I got to take another break. I'm Joe Stasiak, 97.5. Fanatic, we're talking about the Eagles draft. How would you grade Howie? Someone just gave him an F for that trade with Dallas, allowing them to pick up their center of the future, perhaps, in Tyler Biadasz, or Badass, if you want to call him that, the center from Wisconsin. What do you think of Howie? How he did include that Jalen Hurts pick? 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
In the Delaware Valley, it's 2:45 here at 97.5. The Fanatic, I'm Joe Stasiak. Tyler Zuli, my man, behind the glass, taking your calls at 610-632-0975. I've already posted on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Stasiak 975. Let me break down that Dallas pick once again for those of you who have been asking. The Eagles had the 146th pick. They gave it to Dallas for the 164th pick and a fifth-round pick next year. Then they turned the 164th pick into 173 and 227. Then they took 173 and 227 and flipped it for 196, 200, and 233, and they still have that fifth-round pick from Dallas next year. So they basically took one pick, flipped it and turned it into four picks. And with that, those picks, the 196, 200, and 233, they took Sean Bradley out of Temple with the 196th pick, with the 200th pick. They took Quez Watkins, the wide receiver out of Southern Miss. And with the 233rd pick, they took Casey Tuhill out of Stanford. So basically, they gave up Tyler Badass to Dallas so they can replace Travis Frederick. That was a pretty good pick, the center out of Wisconsin, at 146. And they ended up getting a fifth-round pick next year, and they ended up taking Sean Bradley, the linebacker out of Temple. They took Quez Watkins, the wide receiver out of Southern Miss, and Casey Tuhill, the edge rusher out of Stanford, with those three picks that they ended up manufacturing from that one pick that they gave to Dallas, the 146th pick. Tyler, thanks for helping out with that, and I appreciate you straightening that out for me. So, in case you all were wondering, that's the deal. How we turned one pick into four picks. Did you like that? They have a fifth-round pick now waiting for them next year, and they took those three guys that I just mentioned, two sixth-round picks and a seventh-round pick for a fourth-round pick. Would you have done that? See, I don't think I would have, to be honest with you. I know they ended up with four guys. Well, they ended up with three guys and a pick for one guy. But I would still put my money on the fourth-round pick rather than take my chances with two sixth-round picks and a seventh. Now, apparently, it looks like Prince Tega Wanagaho should have been drafted higher. He was underdrafted, and that sixth-round pick could have been a third-round pick, so he looks like a good pick there. I like the Davion Taylor pick in the third round, and also Jack Driscoll, the interior offensive lineman from Auburn, looked like a nice pick. That will help them with their offensive depth, which is what they need on the offensive line. And we're going to see if Andre Dillard can play left tackle. Jason Peters has been tweeting workout videos, old man workout videos, according to Tyler Zuli. He's 38 years old. No one's picked him up yet. Excuse me. We'll see what happens to him. And, of course, Andre Dillard. Last year's draft, as we're evaluating last year's draft, we have two busts already. We have Clayton Thorson was a bust. We have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, in my opinion, was a bust. Who else did we have? Sharif Miller?
Yep.
Who hasn't played?
Not a down.
I'm going to call him a bust, semi-bust, and they have Miles Sanders, who was a semi-star. Now, Andre Dillard's the only one left who was their first-round pick. Last year's draft is predicated on how Andre Dillard does, because right now they have, if you count Sharif Miller, who didn't play it down, who didn't make an impact for the team last year, if you count him as a bust, and maybe that's a little unfair, but you throw him in along with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Clayton Thorson, then last year's draft was horrendous outside of Miles Sanders being a second-round pick, which is what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside also was, a second-round pick. He was picked after Miles Sanders, turned out to do nothing, added nothing to this team, played in 16 games, had 10 catches, did nothing, virtually nothing. And we'll see if Andre Dillard, who was up and down last year playing for Jason Peters at left tackle, he's now going to be asked to protect Carson Wentz's backside full time if Jason Peters doesn't come back. If Jason Peters does come back, like Tyler said earlier, that's the end of Andre Dillard. If you can't beat out Jason Peters at this point in his career at 38 years old when you were a top pick 2 years ago, I'd say you're done. Would you agree with that, Tyler?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he's going to get another job, but there's no indication to me that says that he's anything of value to the Eagles at that point.
I agree. If Jason Peters comes back, and we'll see. I mean, I don't think he's got much left in the tank either. No one else has picked him up. That should tell you something. My girl is on the line. Oh, I always look forward to this moment. She is Linda, formerly of Mayfair. She's now Linda from Bala Cynwyd. How are you, sweetheart?
Hello, you handsome man. How are you?
How you doing today?
Much better. My sister passed away last week.
Oh, you're kidding. I'm sorry to hear that, Linda.
That's all right. Everything's fine. We're all doing good. She's in Florida. She had horrible dementia, Joe, for years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And she thought her daughters were her sisters.
Okay.
So she called her daughters by our names.
Oh, is
but
that
that's
right?
All right.
Yeah, it happens.
She's better off. I loved her. She was beautiful.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad.
All my sisters are beautiful. They were all models, and two of them We're Playboy bunnies.
So you're a hottie too then?
No, I am not
Come
a hottie.
Come on, now, don't sell yourself short. I'm sure you are.
No, I look like an Italian marshmallow. Just think of a marshmallow with feet and a big grin. That's me. Now, I just turned you on, so I have to tell you.
You always turn me on.
Well, no, I mean, I turned you. Well, you turned me on because you're the first positive person so far. Now, I didn't hear your before what you said. You
okay.
could have been negative. But, you know, I was... I had to turn the radio off. Doesn't matter what stations. But I can't. I wish you guys ran all night. I mean, your staff. Because it's good to get your perspective. I was very downhearted with people crapping all over the Eagles. My God, I'm so tired of it, Joe.
What were they saying?
Well, people were saying... Oh, my God. They picked a quarterback. Oh, my God. What did they do for Carson in this draft? And I'm thinking, excuse me. Now, I know they did a lot, and they proved their speed. And a lot of the guys you mentioned I like, too. I mean, look, everybody had a wish list. I didn't because I don't know college football, honey, the way a lot of your listeners do. I'm going to admit to that. And, you know, the Phillies are my babies.
Yeah.
They're number one. Flyers is two. Eagles is three.
Okay.
But I still love them. And I thought the people that had something to be feeling good about in sports, because God knows when we're going to feel good again.
Yeah, right.
But I thought, where's the feel good? All they've been doing is knocking the picks. Knocking everybody, and Joe is a moron. And I said, stop, please, my God. So they picked a quarterback.
Yeah, people aren't real happy. People aren't real happy with the quarterback pick. Other than that, it's hard to tell. It looks like they bolstered their speed, which they desperately needed in terms of their wideouts. They picked up three wideouts. But people are questioning the quarterback pick. What did you think of it?
Well, I'm trying to be rational. Which a lot of people can't be, and I don't blame them. This is a horrible time for us all.
Sure.
I mean, I was telling the producer, we've been locked in since March 12th.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I've been to the doctors once and to the supermarket twice.
Mm.
And that's all.
That's rough.
We don't have no visitors, which is fine. Nobody. But they locked us down early.
Yeah, they did.
They wanted... Well, there's 500 of us, Joe.
Wow.
I mean, really, they got to take care of it. That's a horrible responsibility.
Sure
and
is.
And all of us wear masks and gloves.
Okay,
but
good.
I was happy they took a quarterback. I didn't like Sudfeld, and I didn't feel confidence in him. And last year, they had a guy that was so old, he limped towards the end.
Well.
He couldn't help them.
Josh,
no, I'm serious.
Josh McCown, yeah, he tore up his hamstring in the final game. Yeah, that's why he was limping around. He
So, unless they picked up a backup like Cam Newton, I only threw that out because I heard people saying, would be nice if Cam, well, Cam Newton wants a start.
He doesn't want to be a backup. Neither did Jameis Winston, but he just signed with, or he's about to sign with, unless he already did sign with the Saints for a one-year deal.
Yeah, well, I heard this young man is a good quarterback, and I just wish him the best of luck. I'm not going to tear nobody down. My God, I can't wait for some semblance of something. It looks like baseball's affected big time now. And watching these games breaking my heart, Joe.
Yeah, it's rough.
I want my Phillies.
It's
I
rough. I know. I know. Well, they'll be back soon, Linda. Trust me, they'll be back soon.
I'm sorry. Thank God for you guys.
Well, thanks, Linda.
I really
Linda.
Mean that. I miss all of you, and I love you.
You
and
too, Linda.
Care.
Loves right back at you. Appreciate you calling. You have a great day, okay?
You too, babe.
Thanks, Bye Linda. Now. Take care now. It's my girl, Linda, from Ballykinwood. She's the best. No one's taking shots at Jalen Hurts for the most part. It's basically the pick that people have a problem with. Steve Callis coming up. It's 3:10. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts on the second half of the draft. We talked first half of the draft with him yesterday. We'll go around the league a little bit with him as well. And maybe talk a little Jordan Love, because they're having kind of this same issue in Green Bay. So I wonder if Carson Wentz and Aaron Rodgers got together and kibitzed a little bit, commiserated over the situation. Of course, Aaron Rodgers is 36, Carson Wentz just 27 years old. Got to take a break. One more hour to go. D-Line, I'm coming up at 4 o'clock on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.